Many of us at some point in our lives have been attracted to certain persons who are bigger than life figures. Some perhaps we've met in person. Others we probably have grown up with them. We have read about them. We have watched them on TV. We've kept up with some of these public figures, and we've kept up with the stories that they presented to us. So naturally, we are affected when these bigger-than-life public figures pass away. Notably and recently, almost 2 months, the whole world processed the death of Queen Elizabeth II. And like all figures, there are different opinions about them, good or bad, combination of both. There are questions about legacy. But regardless of what we think about Queen Elizabeth, one thing cannot be disputed, I think. She stayed strong, savvy, persistent. She kept at it for 70 years. My goodness. She kept at it. She kept at that game for 70 years. And not many can run that type of marathon. Not many can do that. She oversaw 15 prime ministers. She engaged with 13 out of 14 U.S. presidents. She poured it all out in her role as queen. And with everything that that meant, the craziness, the messiness of family, we know that. We've kept up with, you know, some of the highlights. She kept up 70 years at it, pouring it all out for her family, whatever that meant. We lost another giant recently, earlier this month. For those who are lovers of country music, we know that Loretta Lynn passed away early this month. Now, she had a different story. She was a daughter of a coal miner in rural Kentucky, raised poor, had a lot of heartbreaks for those who know her story. A story of abuse, domestic abuse by her partners. She suffered drug abuse, alcohol. Many of her songs were banned. I don't know if we have any country music fans over here, but some of her songs were banned as well. But as controversial as she could have been, she kept at it, writing and singing from her own heart, singing life stories that sometimes we're too scared to even talk about. She sang it. She poured everything of herself into this life of singing human stories, singing her own pains, so that others could somehow find their own story and be able to articulate it. I was thinking about these two life giants. And there's more that have, you know, passed away this year. But I was thinking about these both stories, both of these figures, as I was reading the second book of Timothy, the last chapter that Dale read. I was thinking about them because Paul also has a bigger than life figure. His personality is really large, very big. Some of us have read his letters in the Bible. Many of us. I would say most, but I don't want to say that because we've all been raised differently. But think about this. Half of the New Testament are written or attributed to Paul. Half of the books that are in the New Testament are written by Paul. He's a large figure in Christianity. And so we've heard his story before. He was that man on the road to Damascus one day on a rampage, murdering Christians, people who were following Christ. That's the story. And then suddenly there's a blind light and he fell to the ground. Jesus called him up and he is converted, turned around 180 degrees. And from there on, he becomes this powerful force in Christianity. He's pro-Christ, pro-love, pro-justice, in favor of including non-Jewish Christians. Now, remember that back in that time, it was controversial. There was this debate whether non-Jewish Christians were going to follow the Jewish law. So there was a big debate. Okay, so what are these non-Jewish Christians going to be all about? Are they going to follow the Jewish law? What's going to happen? Are we going to include them? So the essential question was, how are these foreigners who are not Jewish going to be included in the Jesus movement? And that becomes a persistent question along the years of Christianity. How are these people going to fit in into the Jesus movement? But say what you will about Paul. I think we all have different opinions about Paul. He poured it all out on the field for Christ. He poured it all out for the good news of Jesus Christ with his own flaws, with his own humanness. But he poured it all out, and arguably, his biggest accomplishment was taking Christ outside of the Jewish context and into the Greco-Roman world. Christ was for everybody. And Paul poured it out just so that Christ could be exported everywhere. He gave his life away for the cause of sharing the love of Christ. And so Dale just read the last passage of this sermon series. And Paul is doing it the way that he does it, right? In a big way, right? He's saying, I have fought the good fight. There's been some special services that I've led using this text for people who have been the towers of church, that they have said, I want to use that text for my funeral service. And so Paul is saying, we've poured it all out. I've poured it everything out as a drink offering. Now, what Paul is saying, he's referring to that in a literal sense, but also in a metaphorical sense. He's poured everything out, and pouring out means that he's sacrificed everything about himself. That's the pouring out that Paul is talking about. It's not withholding anything for a cause. It's giving it all. And for sure, we live in different times. I don't have to tell you that. We live in different times than Paul lived. So here in Wisconsin, we're not persecuted for our Christian faith here, right? I would say that we're not being persecuted. And I'd say that most of us don't have dying for Christ in our priority list. And certainly I can share a message about how this giving one's life can also be seen in a metaphorical sense. I think there's been some sermons that you probably have heard, right, that talks about how is it that we can discern and think about being less selfish, less of this, you know, humanness, and more of Christ. I've heard plenty of sermons like that, right? More of Christ, more of Christ, more of the love, the compassion, the justice, and less of this humanness that sometimes gets in the way, right? I could go there, or I can also share about the message about the greatest martyrs of Christ. We've heard and learned about people of faith who have died because of their convictions of love of justice. We have heard of plenty. One of them was born in El Salvador, in the country, you know, where I was born. And I was inspired by him, you know, growing up. And you probably have heard of Catholic Bishop Monsignor Romero, we call him. Monsignor Romero. We can talk about him, we can talk about Bonhoeffer, we can talk about all of these figures, but we're not going to go there this Sunday. This is a sermon that we're not going to be talking about giving your own life in the literal sense, which I think that has its value, but I think what I would like to just focus on today, if you give me a few more minutes, is that we can not necessarily die for Christ, but we can live for Christ. To live fully. Not necessarily to die for Christ, right, Tressie? So if we could put it on the slide, but to live for Christ. That's the message for today. To live fully. To live a life full of love. Love in a world that is hurting. Love in a world that sees a lot of hate-based divisions. Love in a world that is so indifferent to the hurt of the most vulnerable. Love in a world that is grieving and mourning for the loss of life. Love where there is loss, all kinds of loss. Loss of mobility, loss of loved ones, loss of memory, loneliness, despair, anxiety. I can go on and on and on. I want to talk about love. Love in a world that is even taking rights from ordinary people. You know, my heart this week has been in a lot of places. But one of the things that I've been thinking, too, has been what's been happening in Iran. There's been a big movement in Iran, in part because of a protest against the religious authoritarian government in Iran. There was a young woman of 22. Her name was Mahsa Amini. She was arrested, and she died for not complying with the headscarf. I don't know if you have heard about that in the news in the last couple of months, and there's been a lot of protests in Berlin, all over Europe, in Latin America. Thousands of people have marched across the world for human rights, for women's rights. And I don't know about you, that gets my heart going when I hear that kind of stuff. My heart just breaks. Something that is a threat not only to places far away like Iran, but sadly, there's this kind of threat happening very close to us, right? Certain rights that are at stake for a lot of people. And so last week, as you see, the table is still there. I lifted up the question of why. Why is it that we do certain things? Why is it that we are disciples of Jesus Christ? Why is it that we gather together to worship? And I mentioned that the sermon was not really to answer the questions, but it was more to lift up those questions and that each one of us would answer. And it was a Holy Spirit moment, I think, because I didn't have this planned. But then I asked the community, and I was grateful to hear people just feel very confident, right? And they said what they think, why they are here worshiping. Why is it that we're disciples for Jesus Christ? And so we named a few, and I put only the ones that I remembered, right? Hope, peace, solidarity, sharing Christ's love, community, making disciples. All of these were some of the comments that you all named. Sharing Christ's love, solidarity, peace, community, making disciples. And so we went out, and I think what was very inspiring for me this week, that we were able to not just name our whys, but we were able to live out our whys. Collectively as a church, we live out our whys. We've been active in the community, not just this past week, but for the past year, we've been interacting more slowly as we get out of the woods of COVID, right? Because it feels like we've been out in the woods. Each one of us have been, you know, scattered away up in the woods. And it feels, I heard a comment this past week, someone who said to me, it feels like the church is breathing again, especially because we had been in this COVID season for a long time. And it feels like, oh, the church is breathing. And in many ways, we've answered that why, more importantly, with our actions. We pour it all out. I pour it all out. Promise you that. And we've been part of the solution in feeding refugee families. I was looking at the calendar last night, and we were looking at the pictures with my wife. And we realized, wait a minute, Food for Kids was just, you know, the past Sunday. We were part of this process, part of this project, right, that fed refugee families. I feel passionate for that. There's a heart for me for that. We were also part of providing winter clothing for our neighbors who needed the most. People who are just arriving to the States, who don't know the system, and many who are part of the Spanish and Scripture Growth Group, have met some of these people who are just arriving as immigrants. But not only just immigrants, but also other community members who may not have enough to afford for a coat or a jacket. Well, guess what, Crossroads? We were also part of that. That just makes my heart, again, it's what keeps me going. Pouring it all out, because we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It's one of the reasons why I left my job a few years ago whenever I was working at a hospital, because I felt like being a pastor gave me the chance, the opportunity, not just to do a regular job, but to do God's work. And that's why I followed ordination, because I, in my heart, felt like this was an opportunity to make a difference. And I am super stoked, too, that we had the chance yesterday, as simple as providing smiles to children who went to the park, as simple as that, to just be able to be there with the parents who were arriving, to see the leadership so active, just to see the different people who were there, Crossroad people wearing their gear, talking to families, chatting with them, connecting with them. That gets my heart on fire. To live for Christ, to live fully, to hold one another truly, not just saying it, I'll pray for you, but to truly do it. Have you ever heard someone say, I prayed for you? Isn't that something? This is a church of prayer, praying for all of our members, all of our families. This is a loving church. And so I think, what a better way of finishing this sermon series, not ashamed. Pour out everything that we are. What a way to finish it. I didn't even plan it that way. Things just, you know, stack up that way. Holy Spirit moving. We have finished pouring all out. And so our identity, friends, as disciples for Jesus Christ, is found in living poured out. Because in it we find who we are as we give ourselves away. We hold on to the true essence when we spend ourselves in the cause of Christ. And we are poured out. We are poured out. Wonderful and gracious God, you look at us just how we are. You look at our hearts, you look at our stories, and you love us deeply. God, we just pray that